You're listening to a Countout Podcast. And what is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Your Dose of Death. As you can see, it's just myself today. Mike is out doing his own little thing, but that's okay. He'll be back soon enough. But I was able to get this impromptu, very exclusive interview with one of the rising stars, not just of the Midwest Deathmatch world, but just in general. If you've been watching Mid-Death, bro, you definitely know who this kid is. A real shining spot of the Mid-Death roster. I am talking literally with hit. He just had a match yesterday as of this recording with Dr. Redacted. Was able to make time for me after sustaining some real crazy cuts and bumps, as you can see. I'm with none other than Keaton Stoneburner himself. Keaton, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. I may be stuck in the snow, whatever, yes. But making good use of it. When you decided to message me, you're like, yo, want to get this done? I'm like, absolutely. So absolutely stoked to have you on, man. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now, but we're able to finally make the time to do this. But my first question to you, I mean, you've had a hell of a run with Mid-Death. I know you're from the Iowa area, and that's not necessarily a hotbed of wrestling. I mean, there's Revolver that comes through the door here and there. There's some minor wrestling promotions, but what has it been like starting with a company that's basically started from the ground up in Mid-Death Pro that's coming from Iowa, bringing a new brand of deathmatch wrestling to the Midwest that hasn't really been seen before?
It's been really exciting. It's one of those things where we weren't quite sure how the first show would be responded to, but it ended up going really great, and we've just given it our all every show since, and it seems to be a good formula.
It is. I agree. If you haven't watched Mid-Death, I mean, all their shows are on YouTube, which is, to me, a fantastic formula. I think you're going to see more and more promotions head that direction because now there's more streaming variety now. But also, I mean, you have Nick Manoa, an absolute legend, commentating your matches, which is pretty awesome from anyone's perspective. Yeah. But also, through four shows, you've, of course, done Boggs, which is such a cool little dinky venue. I love the whole dive bar. Like, oh yeah, you're making this dive bar in the middle of Des Moines, Iowa, which I'm very familiar with that area. Mm-hmm. Now into like going to Las Vegas, four shows in. How's that rise been? I mean, you were just in Vegas, of course, after going toe to toe with Dr. Redacted. How are you feeling the day after?
Very rough. Redacted is chaotic, but I like his style, and I think that there's at least going to be one more.
Okay. You heard it here first. We're going to get one more of you two. But, I mean, the thing that really stood out to me with you, I mean, they've basically been giving you the gauntlet of great guys. I mean, listen, you got Satu, Shoto, you had Remington Roar, a former Your Dose of Death podcast alumni on this show, who literally, that was when I was like, this kid has absolute guts to go there with one of the stiffest men in deathmatch wrestling, at Remington Roar. I mean, the guy was forearming the crap out of you with those tubes, and that must have hurt. But now you got Redacted, who literally has become one of the hottest acts in deathmatch wrestling. I mean, not every that is a murderer's row right there. Yeah. Three absolute killers. I mean, is it just you want to step up to the plate, or is it that, I mean, you just love what you do? You don't care who it is against.
No, I mean, I just like to step up to the plate, I guess, and I really don't care who it's against. I see it as a huge challenge to be up against these guys because it definitely tests myself. It tests what I can do as an athlete. And Remington Roar has punched me harder than I've ever been punched in my entire life.
We love Remington here at Your Dose of Death. He is just an absolute killer every time he comes in the ring.
I mean,
there's something about him. There's something about a dude who, mind you, looks a lot older than he actually is, I think because of the facial hair and all, but his just strength is just There are very few guys that can stand the test of time with him.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, of course, I mean, you're not as well known. I mean, it's just you haven't been seen around the world as some of these other veterans. Mm-hmm. But what made you want to get into deathmatch wrestling in the first place?
Honestly, like when I went to school to get trained, I kind of always had it in the back of my mind that my end goal was deathmatches. Prior to like COVID and stuff, I would drive to like the King of the Deathmatches and
okay.
I also went to like NGI4.
Oh,
and then
snap.
Once COVID hit, I was like, well, there's no shows going on and there's nothing for me to do really. So how about I go get trained? And I was also booking like hardcore shows and like hardcore bands and stuff in that scene beforehand. So once all the venues shut down and COVID happened, I was like, I need something to fulfill my time with. But I definitely didn't think that it was going to snowball like this, to be honest with you. It's been a wild ride in less than 2 years.
So it's been only 2 years for you as of right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It moves quickly, this scene. I think you realize that. I mean, Mid-Death was just kind of this small little ball just doing Midwest death matches. For me, I appreciate that as someone from Chicago, because first of all, I would technically consider you guys the first like real Midwest no ring promotion. Mm-hmm. Like there's no other promotions in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I mean maybe Time Bomb Pro as well, mm-hmm. but I mean they're more like in the Dakotas, kind of like mm-hmm. north ish but like Midwest, like Iowa, which, mind you, they don't get a lot of death matches to begin with. Now you're bringing in
I love those guys though.
Like the death match.
My first death match was for Time Bomb Pro. Sorry.
Oh, was? No, you're good, yeah, man. Time Bomb, they're great. Shout out to Eric and them. They're great friends of the podcast. Oh, yeah. So
great people.
But I think the thing you've noticed as well is that the deathmatch fans will come out from anywhere. I've known people that have traveled from Wisconsin down to Iowa for a show, and I'm like, my goodness. But I gotta ask you this. I mean, who do you have in your sights in your future? I mean, of course, you gotta go for the time the Mid-Death Championship. I mean, Carver has that, and I mean, look, Carver is a guy who may have not had his due elsewhere, but with Mid-Death, he's kind of the ace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think about you and Carver in the future?
I think that I definitely need to hit a few stepping stones before I'm able to step up to the Carver. There's not really any particular person that I am grinding to get to right now, but mostly just whatever they send my way, I'm going to do my best to overcome that. But in the back of my head, Insane Lane is one guy that I will fight someday.
You heard it here first, Lane. Yeah, he had a fantastic, fantastic showing at Tournament of Death, if you got around to check that out. But who were some guys that you looked up to in the deathmatch scene that you were like, I want to inspire myself to be this person, or I like what they did?
I would say my top two would be Danny Havoc and Brain Damage.
Brain Damage, one of my all-time favorites. Love him.
Yeah, Brain Damage is an incredible deathmatch wrestler. And same with Danny Havoc. I think that they both are pioneers in their own ways.
Yeah, I mean, damn. I mean, those are two real good ones. And I can see a little bit of Danny in you with just sprying around. I mean, it's a no-ring, but, like, you're still doing crazy shit. I think people kind of undersell no ring death matches because, oh, you're not using a ring, you're not running the ropes. But as you said, you're trained, like you've trained to wrestle. What is something that you see with doing no ring death matches that you wish people saw more of? Like, what is something that you like to see?
I think no ring wrestling is truly bare bones pro wrestling. I mean, there's so many ways you can do with it. At the end of the day, it's just a bar fight, really. So, I mean, a lot of times I go in the deathmatch route because that's how I would choose to overcome that situation. But like, as a whole, I think that no ring shows are their own thing. So I think when people just immediately compare them to ring shows, they already are understanding, if that makes sense. Yeah, and like, if you just don't like shows with no rings, that's totally valid. I completely understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bare bones. I do agree with that. I'm glad you gave that sentiment because, I mean, look, like, remember, like, No Peace Underground, they were kind of like the no-ring kings. They didn't – they were the ones that kind of put – and, of course, Casanova Valentine, one of the
– oh, yeah.
Basically, like, the GOAT of no-ring death matches.
Definitely.
And, I mean, it's – no-ring definitely has an influence on the culture. But I'm – but it does seem a lot of times that people try to compare it to a ring show, and it's like, no, it's a completely different thing. I mean, you're at a bar, you're potentially having a drink or two, and you're like, okay, like, oh, there's just glass and shit flying all over. I finally did my first no ring show at the Kingsland for New Fear City. And I mean, it's just a different animal. I think people don't realize that. So I'm glad you brought it up, that it's so bare bones. It's really... I mean, yeah, there are guys who like to wrestle and do some chain maneuvers and stuff in it, but like, it's a bar fight. So I wish more people had that mantra too. I appreciate you. Yeah, so, sure. I mean, Mid-Death, as we had this conversation before, like, they've been expanding at a crazy rate. I mean, bringing in Phil Stamper, who is a influence to the Midwest genre, but has connections all over. So, I mean, what does it mean, I mean, to you in four shows going from that little dive bar in Des Moines, Iowa to literally wrestling in Las Vegas, Nevada? What does it mean to you to be a part of a company where the growth is meteoric? Like, you're just along for the ride. What does that mean to you?
It means everything, man. Like, it's so crazy because none of us really thought that we would snowball this fast in, I think, 6 months since our first show.
Yeah, 6 months.
I also, like, I never thought that I would be wrestling in Vegas within my first 2 years of like debuting, so that's super crazy to me. But this is it's all been surreal, to be honest with you. I can't explain that anymore better. It's been truly crazy.
Yeah, I mean, from me watching it, and I mean, I remember when Mid-Death first came out, I was like, oh, like, they're in Des Moines, Iowa. Like, I went to school there for a couple of years. So, like, I'm like, oh, crap. Like, there's actual other wrestling. I wish this was around when I was there. Because I would have been like, screw transferring. I'm staying in Des Moines, Iowa, man. I'm going to go watch some no-ring death match on a Friday night. But it's just so cool to see the growth. And, I mean, as Phil put out a video, I mean, you're doing Kalamazoo, you're doing different spots around the Midwest too. I mean, the growth is incredible. Yep. It's just, it's really something special. And I think it's only going to go up from here. Like there is no coming down from space. The rocket ship's already going up. So who are some guys on the Mid-Death roster you want to see more of? I know Phil put out that video about getting more people in the door and like giving them like chance matches, and everyone from the locker room, including staff, gets to vote on if they stay or not, which I think is a really cool idea. You're not seeing any other promotion give this much power, not just to the fans, but to like everyone. I think that's an incredible, but who do you want to see in a Mid-Death Pro environment?
Man, that's hard. But last night, I believe was our first trial by fire.
Okay.
With Petrov versus Matt Twisted.
Okay.
And I would love to see Petrov over in Des Moines. I think that would get a great reaction.
Is he a Vegas local, or is he like actually like Midwest?
I believe he's actually from Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So he actually he came down from there.
Wow.
But he was a super fun dude. Super, super cool energy. Also, like Damon Spriggle, I would love to see him.
Damon, yes. Would love to see Damon in the Mid-Death environment.
Arrow Boy's another guy that I would love to see.
Awesome. Great. I love Arrow Boy, man. He can do everything too. Like, he's not just like a deathmatch guy.
Oh, yeah.
like, I'd love to see him in a no ring environment, but but yeah, I like the way the mid death roster. I mean, of course, like, to me, like, I'll just say it for you, not trying to put you over enough already, but you're kind of like the young boy going through trial by fire, mm-hmm. who basically is like, we have our investment in this kid. It's only going to go up from here. But I mean, you have guys like Joey Knotts. You have, I mean, you got Judge Joe Dredd, who is a mm-hmm. West Coast standout in the making. I mean, of course, Carver's the ace, but I mean, you never know who's going to show up in mid-death. And I think that's the really cool aspect of it. I mean, by show two, you already had guys like Randy West, Schwartzy, Hoodfoot mm-hmm. walking in the door, and you're like, oh crap, this is legitimate mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. So it only goes up from here.
Yeah, for sure, man.
So how is it training? You were training in Des Moines, I'm assuming.
I was actually trained in Marshalltown, Iowa, through a company called Rugged Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
After I completed my training there, I kind of started hopping in the car with Carver and just learning with him before shows and doing ring crew, meeting new people, stuff like that. There's tons of names that throughout the last couple of years who have lent me their knowledge, and I'm very thankful for. It's definitely there's not a lot of schools in Iowa, so it's not somewhere where you're like, oh, like, let me check out my options here. Obviously, Seth Rollins has his school
Black over and Brave, in Davenport, yeah.
Which is obviously a great academy, but that's like not really in my area.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very grateful for all the opportunities I've been able to.
I mean, yeah. I mean, 2 years. That may seem like a lot of time to others, but like, I mean, in wrestling, it feels like it's always like zipping by, kind of.
Yeah, that,
you know,
feels like,
I mean,
2 months ago. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
So I mean, my question is, I mean, I know again, another thing with no ring is some people may have a hard time transitioning from the being more prominent no ring to a ring setting with death matches, but I'm assuming you're not going to have as much of a problem with that. Like, I mean, you've trained in a ring, I'm assuming.
Of course.
So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And have you done a death match in ring, or has it just mostly been no ring?
Yep. Actually, yeah, I was in the death match Armageddon, I believe it was called, for Pro Wrestling Trainwreck.
Oh yeah. For Trainwreck. Okay. So,
yep. So, I mean, just... I guess that was kind of my first, I guess.
Yeah, I would count that as one. Mm-hmm. So my question technically would be now, like, how is it transitioning your deathmatch game from maybe a more bare bones setting to a ring where things are a bit more confined? Like, do you see many differences for yourself, or do you not?
That really just depends on the atmosphere, I guess. And it depends on how bad I want to beat these people, I guess. I'm not really a jumpy, fly, or I do some jumpies. I'm just not really a twitchy, flippy guy.
Okay.
So, yeah. Like, springboards aren't really particularly my thing, but I do like diving off some ropes and stuff like that.
Okay. No, it is interesting because I've always wanted to ask someone, because we don't have many no-ring guys that I interview, but that's something I've never asked, been like, is the transition easier for you, or is it a little tougher? But like,
I honestly think it's pretty easy.
Yeah, it seems that, from what you said, it seems pretty easy. So I mean,
once you like feel that atmosphere, you like, I don't know how it is for other guys anyways, but once I like feel the atmosphere around me, like I can work around that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, we all have goals going into this year, but I want to hear your goals for what you want out of 2023, if you have any.
I would love to make it to the East Coast this year. I think there's a lot of cool companies over there doing a lot of cool stuff right now. Other than that, I mean, just keep getting out there, keep working matches, and learning, I guess.
That was pretty
it's hard
good.
For me to set like one specific goal.
Yeah, I get that. I've always been curious. I mean, yeah, we all have goals, but like, some are easier than others. But I mean, you heard it here. East Coast promoters, get on the phone, get this kid out there. I mean, he has references too, if you haven't heard already. So, I mean, this has been a blast having you on, man. I mean, just watching you grow though. I mean, again, you were just this, I remember seeing him like, oh, there's this scrawny kid, but he's got heart. He's got scrap. There's not a lot of guys in deathmatch that are willing to take the abuse like that and fight back. I mean,
for sure.
Again, you, as I said earlier in this episode, I mean, you went through literally murderer's row with Satu, Remington, Redacted. I mean, who knows what's next for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, you're ready, willing, and able to have any competition your way. For sure. I think my last question is going to be here for you is, I mean, who are some of your favorite current wrestlers? Who are guys that maybe we don't hear enough about, but also maybe we do hear about, but just need to get more bookings because they deserve it?
There's a tag team out of Omaha called the Crucible, and those are really badass dudes. I would love to see them getting around more. Honestly, a lot of the guys from Magnum Pro Wrestling are all great workers.
Where's Magnum?
That is based out of Omaha.
Okay, out of Omaha. Yeah. And you guys are going to Omaha soon for Mid-Death.
Yep. I believe that is March 25th.
You heard it here first, Omaha people.
that might be breaking news.
It might be. I think Phil may have announced it, but I'm just going to keep the news train rolling, though. But shout out to Val Pancakes, one of the biggest supporters of you guys. She's from Omaha.
Yes, for sure. I love Val. Yeah, and she also does commentary for Magnum Pro.
She does? Really? That's awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, another reason to try out Magnum Pro, but that's awesome. I mean, I'm always learning something new about the independents. I'm always trying to keep my eyes and ears. So it's awesome to hear. I'll definitely keep an eye on Magnum Pro. But, guys, you heard it from the man himself, Keenan Stoneburner. Literally, fresh battle scars, as you see the video, day after a war with Dr. Redacted. I saw the photos of the two of you after that show, and, man, I am excited to see what y'all got into because it looked like an absolute war. It looked like an absolute bloodbath.
It truly was.
But as always, I love to do this with my guests. I love to let them plug away. Plug away your stuff, man. This is your time. This is your room. Do you have anything in the works? Do you have anything you want to plug? The floor is yours, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Just follow Mid-Death Pro on all socials, of course. And I am at KSTONB on basically everything, I think. Just keep up to date. There should be a lot of news about a lot of stuff coming here shortly. So I'm just excited to see what this summer brings. And I'm going to grind it out till then.
That's awesome. You heard it here from the man himself, Keenan Stoneburner. Guys, thank you for listening to this episode. Just so you guys know, this will be on Patreon first. If you're listening to this on Patreon, thank you so much. But if not, if you're just listening on the regular airwaves, we thank you so much for listening to this episode of Your Dose of Death podcast with myself and Keenan Stoneburner. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.